Good morning, Rabotai. Welcome to Breakfast and the Class. Breakfast and the Class and Learning for this week is dedicated by the Torah Center Silver Donors, Anna and Adam Amsalem, in honor of their parents, Kenny and Wilma Ashendorf, and Michelle Dom and their beautiful children, Stella and Samuel. Also dedicated for the complete Refuah Shleimah of Chana Batzima Fega, Eliyahu Shimon Mazal Fortuna, and Chaim Rafael Ben Frida. The week of Breakfast and the Class is dedicated by AJ Gindi Kidney and Renewal in honor of our partners in the Edmund J. Safra Synagogue, saving lives together, one kidney at a time. I feel like we need a jingle. AJ, get on that. Week of Cold Brew is sponsored by David E. Ash in honor of you and your substantial capacity to go today and every day. We're good. Okay, perfect. Let's begin. Please only answer amen if you're listening to this live. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, she'akol nehyah baro. Let's begin. My friends, it's a fascinating idea I want to share with you. An idea goes as follows. We find various rewards that were given for quote-unquote good deeds. Now, to know that we find that by human beings is the whole of the Torah. Im b'chukotai telechu, right? V'natati gishmechem be'itam, you do the right thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure that his karmic midah keneged midah will visit you and your children and your generations. However, most of us are not aware that there's also reward and punishment that we find in our Torah for animals. That's remarkable. So let's just go with a couple examples of that reward. The first example of that reward is the Chachamim tell us about the frogs, that the frogs in Egypt that were willing to jump into the tanurim, into the ovens, they were zochet, be able to live, they were rewarded to be able to live. And Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, much later on in Jewish history, were able to learn how to behave from those frogs. Says the Gemara, they made a kal vachomer. If the frogs jumped into the oven and they weren't even commanded, how much more so should we do the same? So we find this reward that's brought down for the frogs, and what was the reward? That they were able to survive for another 2 years. However, later on we find that there is a second reward issued in Egypt to the animals, and that is to the dogs. Excellent, Nathan. The Pasuk tells us, "U'lechol b'nei Yisrael lo yecheratz kelev lishono." For all the Jewish people, no dog should ever wag its tongue at you. They shouldn't bark. I was always taught from a young child, that when a dog is barking at you, you say this pasuk, and they stop barking. Isn't that amazing? I was told that. It doesn't work. But I was told that from the time I was a child. I remember, like, my father told me, you should try this thing, you know, and anyway, the dog is like going Majnoon, and I say the pasuk, then I thought maybe I got the ta'amim wrong, right, you know, I don't know, you know. Then I realized a little while later, maybe this dog is a Amaretz. He didn't go to that class. So he knew all the other dog things, but that was, he like wasn't aware. Maybe he's not an orthodox dog. Okay, doesn't follow the Torah. Now the point is, this dog, Hazit, okay, they kept their mouths shut. The whole night when they're leaving Egypt, the dog, klum, nothing. Because of that, the pasuk says, "Ubasar b'sedeh terefa." If you find that one of the animals that you slaughter for kosher food becomes taref, right? Lo tochelu, don't eat the food. But what should you do with this? La kelev tashlichun oto. Cast it to the dogs. And now Chachamim explained, why did these dogs get this tasty treat of your non-kosher meat? You're allowed to sell it to a non-Jewish person. Why don't you just do that? In fact, the kosher industry is built on the non-kosher market. I don't know if you know this. If every time we found an animal to be non-kosher, we took the loss, no kosher abattoir, no kosher butcher would be able to stay open. Because the cost of an animal is thousands of dollars. We discussed this a couple of years ago. We talked about the cow guy, the Wagyu cow guy, right? Right, only Wagyu cows. Now, my friends, if every time you took that hit, the business model wouldn't work. So what do? If they find the animal is not kosher, they just take that animal and they pass it to the non-kosher market. If we did not have the funds coming from the non-kosher market to offset the loss of a kosher animal, then we would not be able to keep kosher afloat in this country. Okay? So, Lakelev Tashlichun Oto was not discussing a huge, you know, wholesale style kosher operations. But in a local scenario where a person has their own farm or whatever, there's a mitzvah to give it to the dogs. And why is this mitzvah there? What's the reason why we have this mitzvah? My friends, something really interesting. Say the Chazal, they tell us it's because as a reward for the fact that Lecho b'nei Yisrael lo yeharatz kel lishono, they kept their mouths shut in Egypt. Because of that, that alone deserves this eternal reward of Lakelev Tashlichun Oto. That's what Chachamim tell us. Rav Elia Lopian asked the following question. He says, here you have these frogs. What was their mission? Their mission in Egypt was to jump around Egypt, croak their brains out, drive all the Egyptians batty, drive them crazy. That was their mission. To literally make a noise that the Pasuk describes as this unbelievable, a cacophony of sound that was just driving the people crazy. It was everywhere they went. They couldn't escape from it. They didn't have a moment's silence. So the reward for that is 2 years. And the reward for this is eternal. Rav Elia Lopian says, we see from this differential in the reward that they get from the payout that the dogs get versus the frogs, we see the expression of the Gemara, Mila Besela, a word is worth one coin, one sela, Shtikuta Betre, silence is worth two. If a word is valued at one coin, then silence is valued at two. The reason why the dogs are given a greater reward is because of silence. My friends, I want to share something that I think is very powerful. We mentioned yesterday, in the name of the Chida, Isha ki tazria v'yaleda zachar. The Chida points out that those four words, after the word Isha, ki tazria v'yaleda zachar, spell the word zechut, because it is in the merit of the Isha zechut that our houses, that our children are the way that they are. My friends, the duration, the continuation of Parashat Tazria and leading into Mitzorah deals with many of the laws of Tzara'at. And what's interesting is that we know that Tzara'at comes primarily from one sin, more than any other avera, any other avon. What sin is that? The sin of Lashon Hara, of Motzi Shem Ra, of slander, of speaking badly about other people. That's the primary reason. There's a secondary reason, by the way, given in the Gemara, which is based on Tzarut Ayin, on being stingy. In fact, the Midrashim tell us, in the beginning of Megillat Rut, it talks about this idea that part of the reason why stingy people were given tzara'at, they were given tzara'at on the house, because one of the punishments, the processes of tzara'at is that when the house becomes tamer, what does the Kohen say? Hotziu, take everything out of the house. So all of a sudden, you told the guy you don't have a hand mixer, on your front lawn he sees a hand mixer. You told the other guy, I lent out my axe, he sees the axe. Everything is on display. You went from being a fortress of solitude, now you went to a garage sale on your front lawn. So stinginess is combated by by tzara'at. And one of the ideas that our Chachamim tell us is that it's for being tzara'ayin, being stingy with your eye. But the other reason is lashon hara. And my friends, I think that is something that we need to understand and recognize. And that when a person is speaking lashon hara, oftentimes we're very, very busy with, am I allowed to say it? Am I not allowed to say it? Does it fulfill all of the tana'im, all of the laws of of toilet, of constructive lashon hara? Because there are cases where a person has an obligation to share information. Someone comes to you and they ask you, should I invest in this person? And you know the guy is a thief. What are you going to say to the person? Yeah, for sure. You know, v'amech kulam sadikim. You know, what are you going to say? What are you going to say? All Jews are great. You know, from personal experience, the halakha is you must say. However, there's seven different conditions for toilet. Seven. Unfortunately, it is so rare that the seven conditions are met. I'll give you an example. One of the conditions is you can't enjoy tanking the person. Let's say, as an example, you had a relationship, it broke up. Now, someone's coming and saying, look, I know how awkward this is. I want to know about dating your ex. You know, I'm a little awkward, but awkward's my middle name. Please, you have anything to tell me? Do you think, is there a reason why I should stay away? This person, she knows that her husband is abusive. Could you imagine her being so religious that she didn't speak lashon hara? Look, you know something? I think you should go for it because these are my lashon hara hours. So, come to me in an hour, I'll tell you something else. But for right now, boom, go for it. Right? The halakha is, says the pasuk, lo ta'amod al dam re'echa. It is, you're forbidden in the Torah from standing by when your brother's blood is being spilled. The Torah tells us, lefnei iver, in front of a blind man, lo titen michshol, you have an obligation to speak. So it's not always so easy. But if you enjoy making sure that that person now doesn't get remarried because of all the pain they put you through, if there's any enjoyment, you're not allowed to share that lashon hara. You have to find another way to get that information to them, because you can't let them suffer. You can't let them walk into this disaster, right? But at the same time, you can't trust your own judgment on whether or not this is constructive or retributive. Okay. So my friends, there are many laws of toilet. There's many laws of lashon hara. But my friends, you know what sometimes people don't realize? When you're not allowed to be silent, you're not allowed to be. But if you're allowed to be silent, mila besela v'shtikuta betre, a word is worth one coin, and silence is worth two. Ask yourself not if you're allowed to say lashon hara, or obligated to say lashon hara. Ask yourself if you want to say lashon hara. What we're learning over here is that unless a person has an obligation to speak, silence is almost always the correct way to go. Now, there are times, like I said, when a person has a hayub. And in those moments, to be quiet is asur. It's forbidden. But if that's not the case, ask yourself not if I'm allowed to, but should I be talking about somebody? How often do you hear a conversation? You walk by, you walk up, and you hear they're talking about this one, about the rabbi, about the shul, about this person, about this business, about this other guy, and you're just listening to this poison dripping from their tongues. You don't understand the damage that's being done in those moments. I think that perhaps that's why we have these two sins with one punishment. Always bothered me as a young man. Hashem es tzarat for lashon hara. And then the Gemara is like, oh yeah, also on if you're stingy. But like Hashem couldn't come up, he's like lacks creativity. He can't go to like the Yetzer Hara and say, listen, I just want to brainstorm this. Like, you have infinite potential, you have a huge budget, whatever you want to do. I don't know. They couldn't come up with smallpox. Like, they couldn't have another thing, yellow fever, right? They needed to have the same thing. What was it? Buy one, get one free on punishments in Shamayim? Why does Hashem have to combine these two things? And the answer is because these two things are the same. Tzarut ayin means that a person has a narrow eye. He can't see in a big way, in a compassionate way, in an empathic way, in a generous way. He doesn't want to give anything away to somebody else. When a person looks at other people that way, as the enemy, that I win when I keep everything to myself, for myself, that's tzarut ayin. It's the same thing that underpins the reason why you enjoy speaking lashon hara. But when you love people and you want to give to people because you love them, you'll find that lashon hara and being generous are actually natural outcomes. I love the piece in the Chinuch where the Chinuch says on the mitzvah of ve'ahavta l'recha kamocha, he says something that's so brilliant. He says that we know the famous teaching of Rabbi Akiva says, "Ve'ahavta l'recha kamocha ze klal gadol ba'Torah." This is a big rule in the Torah. But then he doesn't end with the words of Rabbi Akiva. Ze klal gadol ba'Torah. What does he say? He explains why it's a klal gadol. He says, if you love someone, that's the mitzvah, to love your neighbor, to love your friend. If you love them, you think you're going to go and burn down his house? If you love him, you think you're going to cause him damage? If you love him, are you not going to protect his property from damages? If you love him, are you going to try and steal from him? Are you going to be jealous of him? So many mitzvot in the Torah are solved by this one mitzvah. What he's really describing is what we would call in the drug world a gateway drug. Ve'ahavta l'recha kamocha is a gateway mitzvah. If you just did this one, you'd have all the other ones. Now let me just explain. With some mitzvot, we're relying on a concept called mitzvah goreret mitzvah. One mitzvah drags along another mitzvah with it. That's not this. Mitzvah goreret mitzvah means I go to shul, I'm going to pray, and then what happens? Some guy comes up to me and says, listen, you know, we need you for 10, we're going to learn some Torah and then say Kaddish, you know, for this guy's father. You came to pray, but God gave you learning. And you came to learning, and God gave you a Kaddish. And that's mitzvah goreret mitzvah. Here, this is not goreret mitzvah. This is the underpinnings of the logic behind. The power of the mitzvah comes from the fact that you love the person. That's what Rabbi Akiva meant when he said, Zeklal gadol ba'Torah. I often think to myself that we know it says by the days of the Omer, the 33 days of the Omer, Rabbi Akiva's students all passed away. And the Gemara asks, Mipnei ma, why did this happen to them? That they had such a terrible tragedy happen where they all passed away in 33 days. And the Gemara answers, Mipnei shelo nahagu kabod ze baze. They did not respect one another. And my question always was, find me in the Torah the pasuk that says, don't respect someone, die in 33 days, you and all your students. It doesn't say in the Torah that the punishment for not giving someone respect is death. Right? Is anyone, could you find that for me? It's not in the Torah. So how could they be punished? And the answer to me is actually this piece from Rabbi Akiva, their own rabbi. Rabbi Akiva said that all the mitzvot in the Torah are dependent in ve'ahavta l'recha kamocha. All of them. So if they did not get that right because they did not have kavod for their friend, and if ve'ahavta is the key to all those mitzvot, what is not having ve'ahavta the key to? Breaking all the Torah. In the Torah, there are mitzvot that have the death penalty. You want to know why the students of Rabbi Akiva passed away? Because they failed miserably on their level on the mitzvah ve'ahavta l'recha kamocha. And that was going to mean that by hook or by crook, every mitzvah in the Torah was going to go down the drain. A lot of times, you know, you have people that get sick. How do they know they're sick? They have a very severe cough. You know, they go to the doctor. Wow, that was perfect timing. I can't even, that was incredible. Thank you. They have a severe cough. Anyway, wife says to them, go to the doctor. Coughing, I don't like the way it sounds. So what does the guy do? Guys don't like going to doctors. I don't know what our version is. We're going to doctors, we don't go to doctors. What does the guy do? Pops into his local CVS, right? Do you know what CVS stands for? I was thinking the other day. Cost versus service. Either way, point is, the guy goes to CVS, takes off of the shelf, he grabs himself, good old cough suppressant. Downs half the bottle. You know what stops immediately? His cough. Do you know what he's not solved at all? The reason why he's coughing. The cough suppressant, actually, it targets the place, the muscles, which are spasming. That's what a cough is. It targets the muscles that are creating these spasms, which create the cough. But you might be having a cough because there's something in your lungs. You might be having a cough because you have post-nasal drip. You might be having a cough because you have COVID. I don't know. But the cough suppressant is just taking the sign that there's a problem and shutting it off. My friends, a lot of people work on Lashon Hara, but they're just drinking cough suppressant. A lot of people work on integrity, but they're just drinking cough suppressant. A lot of people try and be work on their chesed, just drinking cough suppressant. You know why? Imagine this for 1 second. Imagine you loved your fellow Jew. No one would need to give you a class about chesed. You know why? Because you already do chesed with the ones you love. You don't even have to be a good person to do chesed with the ones you love. How do we know that? Who we learned that lesson from? The stork, which is called chasida and is non-kosher because it only does kindness with its friends. You could be non-kosher. You're still going to do kindness with your friends, with the people you love. So you know what the panacea is? The cure all. In the Torah, ve'ahavta le'recha kamocha. My friends, if that's the case, and you love somebody, sometimes for love we do great things. And sometimes for love, you do something that might be even more difficult than those great things, and that is you keep your mouth shut. I think perhaps now we understand why it says, Isha ki tazriya v'yaleda zachar. The biggest zechut in our parasha here is for the women. The Gemara tells us, Tisha kabin, 9 measures, 10 measures came to the world of speech, and women took 9 measures of 10. That's why they're much greater communicators than we are. They have that gift of communication. They're all caught up on all their best friends. They know what everything. You could have a friend who is legit your best friend. You would take a bullet from him, and after you took a bullet for him, you would give him your other kidney. Like, that's how close you are. And you know how often you have to speak? Whenever you see each other. And that's enough. And then you pick up the phone, and it's perfect, right there. Women who are really good friendships, they cultivate those friendships. They nurture those friendships. Women have a greater propensity for speech. And yet, says the Pasuk, Isha Zechut. When a woman refrains from Lashon Hara, because she has such a propensity for speech, the Zechut is far greater. You ever meet people that most of their answers to whatever you ask them is either a one-word answer or a grunt? You meet people like that? Where are you going for? you want to do the thing? Yeah, whatever. You know, or they just give you the eye rolls, the hands, the motions. A guy like that, not to speak Lashon Hara, of course he gets merit. He keeps his mouth shut. But he keeps his mouth shut anyway. The Chafetz Chaim, who taught the world about Lashon Hara, you know what people who knew him personally said about him? He was quite chatty. He talked a lot. But in talking a lot, he still managed to be able to control his speech. My friends, sometimes the most powerful thing you could do in this world, if you love someone, is to not speak. To not speak to someone about about a problem your child is having. Sometimes you just want to get it off your chest. You just want to vent. But my friends, venting is for your family, for your wife. Talking to your friends about this, again, understand, people have very long memories. I remember someone who came to me, I had suggested a shidduch, and he said that this guy in the community told him not to go out with her. I called the guy, I was like, is there something you know I don't know? It's a wonderful girl, you know, what's wrong? What's the problem? He said, Rabbi, her father told me many years ago things about this girl that would make your hair stand on edge. I said to him, I said, aren't you guys friends? Are you guys friends? He said, yeah, but you know, the guy, he asked me. I felt I had to. I said to him, how many years ago was that conversation? He said, probably maybe 10 years ago. I said, 10 years? Did you bother to pick up the phone and call the guy and ask him if those issues are still around? He says, nah, that's a very awkward phone call. I'm gonna make the phone call. I was like, you're scared of an awkward phone call, but you're not scared of a phone call where you just perhaps destroyed his and her chance of happiness together? It's amazing. Unless you know that something is current, you know it to be true today. You know it to be true from your own personal eyewitness. Not someone told you, not you heard, unless you know exactly the nature of it. Without any exaggeration, without any doubt. All of those things, you're not allowed to say anything. You're not even allowed to say, look, I don't know what's going on, but there's something going on. You're not allowed to say that. Until you know what something is, you know what you should say? Nothing. Mila besela shtikuta betray. My friends, I want to end with this idea. Isha zechut. I've seen many beautiful initiatives that have been launched in the community since October 7th. I think every one of us has gained 20 pounds unless we're on Mounjaro or Ozempic. Why? Because every minute and a half, we're doing another challah bake. Someone's eating all those challahs. And it's probably me. Okay? It's beautiful. Right? Afrashat challah, huge zechut. But my friends, you know, in the Torah, first we talk about the end of Shemini, the Isur of non-kosher. The Torah tells you, be very careful with what you put in your mouth. But then, you know what the Torah follows that up with? And you know what you need to be even more careful from? What comes out of your mouth. I want to see initiatives in the community for Lashon Hara. Now, initiatives for Lashon Hara could be, we don't speak this hour of the day. You know, I remember seeing a sign-up chart. They want to do 24 hours with no Lashon Hara. You know, had that's like 4 a.m. You know? She flinched. Right? It's good. That's very good. 24 hours, Lashon Hara. Everyone's not speaking 1 hour. Excellent. You pick times in your day. Excellent. I love it. Awesome. But you know what would be 1,000 times more powerful? having groups, having chavrutas. Pick up one of the books. There's 50 books from the Chafetz Chaim Heritage Foundation. All different kinds, on all different levels. There's a family book, there's a halakha book, there's a what if book, there's another book, there's a master your words book. So many different books. They're all gorgeous. Take a chavruta, take a habura, take a group of people, and learn the laws of how to keep your mouth shut. Learn the laws of what you're allowed to say and what you're not allowed to say. Because ultimately, as we know, more than anything else, there's a famous saying that goes, it's easier said than done. You ever hear that sentence? I hate when people tell me that. Tell someone, you know, you should really, start coming to shul a little bit more often. Someone like you should be in shul at least twice a week. The guy says, Rabbi, easier said than done. Do you know what I said to him? Everything is easier said than done. Find me something that's easier done than said. Obviously, it is easier said than done. My friends, if the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, if Galut and Geula are dependent on Ahavat Chinam versus Sinat Chinam, what is the most accessible form of Sinah, of hatred, of damage that we could do to people? Because after all, isn't it always easier said than done? The easiest form of harm to others is the said form of harm. Let's focus on that. And Be'ezrat Hashem will see a personal ge'ula for each and every one of our brothers and sisters in Aza. Be'ezrat Hashem, a communal ge'ula, that what we see brewing in Israel, heading back towards the divisions in our country, should be averted, and we should remain as one like we have been. A communal ge'ula and a world ge'ula with the coming of Mashiach and the eradication of all evil, of all extremism in this world. Like the Pasuk says, V'chol harish'a kula ki'ashan tichle ki ta'avir memshelet zadon min ha'aretz. We should be zoche to see those days speedily. B'charov. Hazaku baruch.